Bombast and a bump in the polls mark the end of the Republican National Convention. The Democratic convocation began with a resignation and resentment after leaked emails revealed some chicanery behind the scenes in the primaries. A big week in politics on the mind of news analyst Neil Conan. He joins us now, as he does most Tuesdays, back on his Macnut farm on the Big Island. Welcome home.
Thanks, Beth Ann. I made it back just in time for Darby. But, you know, a little tropical storm seems like nothing compared to the heat wave back on the mainland.
And the political storms in Cleveland and Philadelphia, too. Let's pick up with the Republicans, who launched Donald Trump into the election campaign with some success.
Considerable success, if the polls are to be believed. Tied or narrowly ahead in the latest surveys, which I have to say surprises me. I thought the Republican convention in Cleveland came close to disaster at times, and culminated in one of the longest and scariest acceptance speeches in American political history. The only real grace notes, I thought, were the speeches of Donald Trump's children, Ivanka in particular. And while they reflect very well on their father, the very next day, after his speech, Donald Trump revived attacks on his Republican rivals, even going back to those wild conspiracy theories about Ted Cruz's father and the Kennedy assassination. So we're right back to the candidate who's completely off message, who cannot let any slight go unanswered, and who's willing to say just about anything.
And infrequently does. Now, most conventions give their candidate a boost in public opinion. You reminded us that would likely happen. Does that explain these new polls?
Somewhat. But if you look at the numbers, I don't think it's so much that Trump surged. It's that Hillary Clinton's ratings went down. So she had a tough couple of weeks. Her email story and 4 days of incessant attacks and all those chants of lock her up, I think had an effect.
We heard those chants repeated by some angry Bernie Sanders supporters in Philadelphia yesterday, too.
We did. But before we get to that, just look at how these two parties are divided, each in their own way. The Republican base is solidly behind their candidate. There was very little dissension on the floor in Cleveland, and when it became clear that Ted Cruz would not endorse Donald Trump in his speech, even some of his delegates booed him off the stage. It's the party leaders who can't stand Trump, the Bushes, the Romneys. You can go through that long list on the Republican elite who refused to show up, John McCain, and John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, who not only didn't attend his party's convention in his own state, but used some leftover campaign money to run some anti-Trump TV ads. So a candidate who's totally in tune with his base, and polls show that's very largely less well-educated white men, and detested by almost every elected official, every living Republican presidential nominee, with the exception of Bob Dole.
Neil, in the Democratic Party, it's almost the reverse with leadership seeming like its candidate is their favorite, and they like that candidate a lot better than a lot of the voters do.
Exactly. Yesterday, the convention was almost entirely devoted to placating the Sanders supporters. One speaker after another from the more liberal wing of the party, including Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders himself, all of them endorsing Hillary Clinton, and the Sanders diehards were not having any of it.
How much of this is attributable to those hacked emails from the Democratic National Committee that were published this past weekend by WikiLeaks?
They certainly didn't help, particularly the one email that suggested the party might want to plant questions in the media about Sanders as an atheist, but they didn't do that in the end. There was no real smoking gun there, but it all reinforced the belief by many Sanders supporters, the Bernie or bust crowd, that the party rigged the process and maybe even stole the nomination.
At one point yesterday, comedian Sarah Silverman, who has prominently been supporting Bernie Sanders, addressed that Bernie or bust crowd directly and flat out said they were being ridiculous.
And, you know, I think that made a real difference. That remark would have been terribly patronizing if it came from the mouth of a Clinton supporter. But when she said that, the furor subsided a bit. I think the decision by Deputy Wasserman Schultz to resign helped. I think the appointment of Donna Brazile as temporary chair also helped. And she also issued an apology. Sanders' speech was moved to the star spot of the night. That helped, too. It did calm down somewhat. But there were hecklers during Elizabeth Warren's speech, and they were shouting, "We trusted you." So this is clearly not over by any means.
Okay, before we move on from the question of the emails, How much credence do you put into the reports that the DNC computers were hacked by the Russians and handed to WikiLeaks as Vladimir Putin's gift to Donald Trump?
Well, you know, we have to keep going back to Dave Barry's old line this political year. You can't make this stuff up. I don't begin to know anything about the technical side of this, but people who do know that stuff say it's entirely credible. Now, Julian Assange, who's the founder of WikiLeaks, denies that it's the Russians. They deny it. But, you know, they could have done it, and the timing was, precise as well.
And who knows, there could be more to come. This may be just the first batch made public, though, yes?
And Wasserman Schultz may be just the first of the DNC officials to lose their job. One more thing, those emails came out just a couple of days after Donald Trump told the New York Times that he would not automatically uphold Article 5 of the NATO treaty. That means he would not automatically support a NATO partner who was attacked. Now, this tended to get lost amid all the other provocative things Trump said last week, but this is tremendously important. It's one thing to, tear up NAFTA or even the climate change agreement, but NATO has been the bedrock of U.S. and European security for 70 years, and Article 5 is the bedrock of NATO.
Which is another reason to look very, very carefully at what Trump is really saying. Now, okay, after all of this, did the emails and the dissension ruin the first night of the convention? Did they threaten to really spoil Hillary Clinton's hopes for a convention bounce of her own?
You know, despite all that mess, I thought the Democrats actually had a pretty good night. Cory Booker gave a terrific speech. I thought he really emerged as a national figure last night. And Michelle Obama's speech was even better than that. Somebody cracked it was so good, we'll probably hear it again at the Republican convention 4 years from now. I thought Bernie Sanders went a long way toward easing most of his supporters toward acceptance, and there's a new Pew poll out that shows 90% of the people who voted for Bernie Sanders are prepared to vote for Hillary Clinton, but we're going to have to see how that plays out. There's a lot of very angry Bernie delegates on the floor. They're going to be voicing their opinions in the roll call vote today. Some say they may even challenge Tim Kaine's nomination to be vice president, and especially we're going to have to see on Thursday how the candidate herself addresses these issues.
So what you're really saying is that last night might not have been the bridge over troubled waters.
Maybe not. But it was good to hear Al Franken cracking jokes for once.
All right. Thanks, Neil, and welcome home again.
You bet, Beth Ann.
News analyst Neil Conan joins us most Tuesdays from the farm. You can also hear his Pacific News Minutes right here on Hawaii Public Radio.